I'm sure that everyone here knows Dr. W. Fred Swank, pastor for many, many years of the Sagamore Hill Baptist Church in Fort Worth. I was privileged to serve as his associate director of education and music from 1941 through 1949. And since that day I met him in 1941, when he met me at the train station in Fort Worth, when I came from Abilene to visit with him in the church to see if they would let me serve there. From that day until now, he's been the dearest friend I've ever had. I delight to go with him in revival meetings. I've seen him go where the church had not made adequate preparation for revival and indicated they had little possibility for revival. And I've seen him as he got out among the people and stirred up interest, as he prayed, as he won people to Christ. And I've seen those situations turn into some of the greatest revival experiences I've ever seen. I know during the years that I served as superintendent of missions in Tarrant Association, always we leaned on this fine pastor to lead the way and challenge other pastors and other churches to become totally involved in what we were doing. For we could do so much better if all of us shared in it and did it together. Oh, the strength that was there. And Brother Swank was always that person to challenge our association. And he comes now with the burden of his heart in the support of evangelism across this state and our world to challenge us concerning involvement in the crusade of the Americas. Dr. Fred Swank of Fort Worth.
Somebody said the other day that this committee of 100, one portion of the committee was to investigate the State Mission Commission and investigate the work of Charles McLaughlin. Well, I said, you know, I know Charlie, and if I had that job, I'd just as soon try to investigate the work of the Apostle Paul, because I feel like that, just like Paul tried to follow the leadership of the Lord, I know Charlie does, and I thank God for him. You know these little smart-aleck remarks that Rudy Hernandez made? Last time I saw Rudy, he and I have been out on a lot of these evangelistic conferences. Last time I saw him, he had a burr haircut. I don't know this morning whether he has on a toupee or he's trying to be a hippie, but his hair is going up. You know, I know all of this evangelistic team. I've known Wade Freeman for many years and all of these fine fellows who work with him. But I don't know of anybody who does a greater job in Texas Baptist life than Rudy Hernandez. I thank God for him. And I've heard him preach and I've heard him pray and I've seen him work with his people down in the valley and other places. And it thrills my soul to see him as he challenges us. Every time he speaks, I always say to myself, now he's not going to get to me this time. I'm just not even going to listen to him. And the first thing I know, he's got me doing exactly what he wants me to do. And I appreciate it. Now, I'm not going to try to preach this morning because, really, that's not one of my talents. I'm going to try to speak to you a little bit on getting involved in the conquest of the Lord as it heads up in this great crusade of Americas. Last week, I had one of the rare weeks of illness in my ministry. I have always bragged that I never spent 2 days in bed in my life sick. Well, last week I broke the record. I spent 3.5 days there. I had a terrific cold, and I knew this subject was on the program. And so I spent a little time going through the Bible, trying to find out what happened in the great conquest that God sent his people into. And in every case, I found that there was a great leader, but in every case, I found that there were people who did not get involved. And those people who did not get involved always caused either a calamity to themselves or to others. First of all, Abraham went out on a great conquest. God told him what to do. He said, get you out of your country and from your kindred, get out and follow the Lord. Go into a land that I'll show you, and I'll bless you. And there he gave him the great Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham went, and God blessed him. But he took along with him his nephew, Lot. And you know, Lot got out there, and he decided that Abraham wasn't doing it right under the leadership of God, and he was going to do it his own way. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And my friends, you know the calamity that came to the family of Lot. I read of another great conquest and a great crusade. At the burning bush, God called Moses to go down into Egypt and to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And you know the series of events, how God blessed him and led him and gave him power and might and strength and courage. And God opened up the Red Sea, and miracle after miracle happened. But my friends, there was a man by the name of Aaron who went along with him, who just wouldn't get into the crusade. He just wouldn't get into the activity. He decided he could do it better. And when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the law, the people came to Aaron and said, "We want gods of gold." And Aaron permitted them to make golden calves, and he permitted them to dance around those golden calves and worship those golden calves. Yes, a great crusade. But here was a man who had leadership ability who just wouldn't get in. He just wouldn't go along with them. And then I read about Joshua as he came up to the great walled city of Jericho. And God told him exactly what to do, and he did it. To march around that wall once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times, blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls of Jericho would fall down, and they did. And God had told Joshua to tell the people, as they went through Jericho, not to take any of the spoils, not to take one thing. I'll tell you, they were advancing. They marched around those walls. God destroyed those walls. God gave the people of Jericho into the hands of Joshua and the children of Israel. But my friends, there was a man named Achan. And he decided that he wouldn't get in. He decided he wouldn't get involved. And he stole some money and hid that money in his tent. And because of that, the children of Israel lost the next battle as they went up against Ai. Old Gideon had 32,000 soldiers. The great enemy of the Midianites were down in the valley. And God called to Gideon and he said, "Gideon, I want you to let some of these people go home because I want God to get the glory." And so Gideon went over there and said, "I want any of you who are afraid to go home." And 22,000 of them went home. He said, "Now, then again," says, "you still got too many. I want to put in a test of real concern. And those who are not concerned, Gideon, I don't want them here." And so he tested them again. And we find that 9,700 of them went home. And there were only 300 people who got involved. But those 300 people put the Midianites to flight. God gave them victory. You know, if I had been in that group, I would have liked to have been with the 300 standing around about the camp, every man in his place, that had been over there with that 31,700. There were 31,700 who wouldn't be involved. And my friends, it took 300 to win the victory of the Lord. The disciples went to the upper room and there they started praying. The Lord had told them to tarry until they'd be endued with power from on high. There they went, but you know, there was one who wanted to do it his own way. His name was Judas, and he wasn't there. That was a great conquest, but there was one of the 12 who wasn't there. Wasn't there. And he missed the blessings of the Lord. Now, my friends, what am I saying? You and I have an opportunity to do something. Somebody else planned this, I'm sure, under the leadership of the Lord. I can do one of two things. I can get involved, or I can join the 31,700 on the sideline. I can get involved, or I can be an Achan. I can be involved, or I can be an Aaron. I can be involved, or I can be a Lot. I want to be in God's crusade, whatever it is. And as I read the plans of this crusade, I think about Baptist people from the North Pole to the South Pole preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost multitudes. And somehow I want to get into it. Somehow I want to be a part of it. I don't know all about it. But I want to be a part of it. Because I find when people involve themselves and they become a part of something, God sends His blessings to us. I want to tell you two stories. 35 years ago, God led a little country church to call me as pastor. I had finished Hardin Simmons University and come to the seminary. I'd been reared on the south side of the city of Fort Worth. I didn't know Genesis from Revelation, but they called me. I knew two things. I knew I was saved, and I knew God wanted me to preach. That's all I knew. And this little church called me. Well, I went to the associational meeting 35 years ago in Tarrant County Baptist Association. And in all my life, I have never seen such confusion. And I joined right in with it. The city of Fort Worth had been torn by Baptist strife for years. There we were meeting. We had some pretty good fellows. We had Baker James Coffin, pastor of the Polytechnic Baptist Church. We had Doug Hudgens, Broadway Baptist Church. Later, Dr. Feaser came over there. He didn't help it a lot, but, you know, he came over there. We had Dr. C. E. Matthews out of Travis Avenue. But we didn't have a first church. We didn't have anybody to try to kind of hold us together. We didn't have any older pastors. Brother Matthews was probably the oldest pastor over there, and all the rest of us just a bunch of kids. And all my life, I have never seen such a poor spirit. You know what I'm talking about, Dr. Feaser. One day I was in that pastor's conference, and there was a man about 6'5" at the front of the room, and a little short fellow who did a lot of talking, not me, but another one, did a lot of talking at the back of the room. And this little fellow got up and inferred that this big fellow had lied. Well, that big fellow just unfolded. And he walked back there, and he picked up that little fellow, and he drew back his fist. You know, brother, that's the way we used to do it with Otis Strickland back out on Berry and Hemp Hill Street, you know. And I got to thinking, well, you know, this preaching's not going to be as dull as I thought it was going to be. And I was sitting there and I said, hit him a good one. But Baker Coffin, being a fine Christian it was, he said, oh, now, brethren, we're all brethren. We've got to be. Ramsey Pollard was there, pastor over Evans Avenue. He got up and said, oh, now, fellas, we've got a wonderful fellowship. Ramsey knew his line, but anyway, it always helped. You'd go to pastor's conference, you didn't know whether he was going to come out alive or not. My friends, I'm telling you the truth. Isn't that right, doctor? Yes, sir. Doctor's been there. Well, anyway, Brother Matthews got up one day, and he said, fellas, we're going to have a simultaneous crusade. Brother, it was born over there in Travis Avenue Baptist Church, that word and that program. And he talked us into going into a revival. All of our churches. I was reared in Travis Avenue. He called me one day and he said, he called me Frederico. He said, Frederico, who you got a hold of your revival? I said, oh, Brother Matthews, I'm not going into that thing. Oh, he said, yes, you are. He said, I want to see you. And I want to see you a minute. And that meant 4 hours any time he said you wanted. Well, after a while he talked me into it, I had to go into it. My friends, I'm saying all that to say this. I remember one prayer meeting. One prayer meeting. When those preachers got out on their faces, and it was a time when we got together and confessed our sins and prayed for the power of God. Listen to me. From that prayer meeting until now, Tarrant Baptist Association is the most united Baptist body that I know anything about. From that time, we had a missionary then that was paying $50 a month when we could raise it. He had to resign because we couldn't pay his salary. Our budget is over $175,000 today. We've built a wonderful office building. We're now building a wonderful encampment down on the Brazos River. Those preachers love each other, they're united, and we are doing things in Tarrant County for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We got involved. We quit playing at Christianity. We started preaching Christ and started confessing our own sins and getting involved with each other. And God has given us revival after revival. And I want to see my association gather together in this great encounter. And I want to see us turn men's heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll get together and pray, somehow God can use you. But my friends, what I'm afraid of, that some of this 37,700 will be on the sideline. One more story. Several years ago, Brother Henry Kincaid, who's pastor of the First Baptist Church of Irving, came to me and said, Fred, I want you to come help me in a revival. And Brother Kincaid said, our town has been torn to pieces by politics. The politics have gotten into the schools, and I don't want to bring that up, but you who know about it know about it. He said, we haven't had a revival in years. He said, some of the greatest men in our convention have been here in revivals, and it just has been as cold as it could be. I said, well, Henry, I'll come, but remember this. We've got to involve the people. We've got to pray. That's the only way God can send a revival. Well, I went over there, and I'll tell you, God got hold of that meeting. On Sunday night, that Sunday night, the Chamber of Commerce had designated as church at night day. And the program was that every church of all denominations fill their auditorium on Sunday night. Well, it just happened to fall on the last night of our revival. We had had a great revival. We had had a powerful revival. Brother Kincaid had led his people to win people to Jesus. If you've never worked with Henry Kincaid, I'll tell you, he's a man of God, and I thank God for it. He's led his people to win souls. They came, and every night we had people saved. Well, that night came. That auditorium would hold about 1,600 people. We walked out on the platform, and that auditorium was jammed full of people. Henry reached over and said to me, he said, now, Fred, I know three people are going to join church tonight. I won one to Christ, and two are coming by letter. He said, what I'd do if I were you, I wouldn't worry about these people who haven't heard you. They haven't been here. We've advertised our church. Our people are involved. Our people got involved in this Sunday night affair. They filled this church. Just preach the best you know how. And the three people I know will come. And then don't fret or don't worry about the others. Well, the fine singer sang. Always a very sensational meeting, you know. They sang, I was going to preach on heaven. They sang Sweet By. And When We All Get to Heaven, those great sensational songs, you know. And then I preached one of my great sensational sermons. You know, my preaching is about as sensational, you know, as a as a cold bologna sandwich after a hard day's work, you know. It's not very sensational. Well, I stood up there and preached. I gave an invitation. And I saw those people of the First Baptist Church of Irving get involved in a prayer meeting as I preached and as I gave that invitation. And last Sunday afternoon, I called Henry and I said, Henry, I want you to give me exactly what happened that night. This is what happened. An hour and 25 minutes after I started that invitation, I was still giving an invitation. 58 people stood in that altar. 37 of them professions of faith, and some of them over the age of 60 years. Why? I stood up and told those people, if you give me credit for this, you're blaspheming. God did this. Because the people got involved. They didn't say, oh, I'm against it. The Chamber of Commerce, what business they got trying to fill our church? Didn't say that. Oh, I don't like to somebody else tell us what to do. I was out here with this Faith in Action group one day, and one preacher said, well, what about this faith now? What do you think about it? I said, for it. He said, well, I don't know whether I'm for it or not. I said, well, what program do you have? He said, well, I haven't planned one yet. And you know, I watched him, and he hadn't planned one yet. My friends, I want to see Baptist people from the top of Canada and Alaska to the bottom of South America. I want to see Baptist people get involved in a great revival. And I want us to get so involved that God can bless us and God can give us the unexpected. God can give us people we've never thought of. And instead of three, He can give us 58 if we get involved. But I'll tell you, when I stand on the sideline like Lot or Aaron or Achan or the 31,700 or my friends, if I stand on the sideline like Judas, oh, listen, God can't bless me. I've got to get involved. And by God's grace, I want to be involved. When I was a little boy, Mordecai Ham and William J. Ramsey came to Fort Worth, and they had a great revival. I could have been saved then when I was about five or six years old if somebody just sat down and told me about Jesus. But nobody did, and I went on until I was 16 years old. But they sang a song that I've been singing ever since. Here it is. I've enlisted for life in the army of the Lord. Though the fight may be long and the struggle fierce and hard, with the armor of God and the Spirit-trusted sword, at the front of the battle, you will find me. And that's where I want to be, in the army of the Lord.